So the epistle for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Brethren, let us not covet evil things, as they also coveted. Neither become ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed fornication. And there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted, and perished by the serpents. Neither do you murmur, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happen to them in figure, and they are written for our correction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore he that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed, lest he fall. Let no temptation take hold on you, but such as is human, and God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make also with temptation issue, that you may be able to bear it. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 19. At that time, when Jesus drew near Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it, saying, If thou also had known, and that in this thy day, the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, and thy enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and straiten thee on every side, and beat thee flat to the ground, and thy children who are in thee, and they shall not leave in thee a stone upon a stone, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And entering into the temple, he began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying to them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Please be seated. Seeing the city, he wept over it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, in today's liturgy, we have the sense of the idea of punishment and fear, but we also have the mercy and the goodness of God. And in some ways, to try to balance the two of them and try to understand that. You know, we can ask the question of why our Lord was weeping over Jerusalem. One, he was weeping over it because of its infidelity, because of the lack of response to the graces of God. And so one, we can say that, obviously, that our Lord weeping over them, the tears that he had, also shows then his compassion that he had for the souls, for the city. And so from that, yes, there is the idea of punishment and fear. Because of the infidelity that we have to God's grace, and because of that infidelity, well, yes, rightly so, we will be punished for that. But then also we balance out with the mercy and the goodness of God. In the epistle, it talks about, He that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. And so we ask the question then, why? Why do we have to suffer through temptations then? If we talk about the mercy and the compassion that God has for our souls, why would we still have to undergo temptations then? Because so many souls, they're tempted and they fall, and they lose the grace of God. But the answer is found in today's Mass itself. God is faithful. He doesn't allow us to be tempted more than we were able to handle itself. And so in a way, it's God's understanding for us then to see we're tempted with temptations. God permits those. But he always gives us the grace then to help us through it, in order for us to prove our fidelity. Because that, again, comes for us the understanding. Will we be faithful to Almighty God, or will we be like Jerusalem at this time, that our Lord would have to weep over them because of their infidelity? Because of being unfaithful to Almighty God and the graces that he gives to us. And so that's the thing that we see, that a lot of times, yes, it's for us, it's a mystery, it's a question, it's a wondering why. Why do we have different temptations? Why do we have different trials that we undergo? What's a means for God to find out, are we going to be faithful or not? Or are we going to be unfaithful to him? Turn our back on that. Because again, we see very clearly that God is faithful to us. He will always give us the graces that we need. to always give us the power that we have in order to fight and to overcome these temptations. So then we have to ask ourselves, well, why did we fall? We fall because either we turn our back on God's grace, we don't work with the graces that God gives to us, or sometimes we even place ourselves in the temptations. So granted, God will permit us to undergo sometimes temptations. We have to be tried. We're tried in order to show our merit, our worth. But unfortunately, sometimes for ourselves, we place ourselves in the temptation. And then we fall and then we wonder why God didn't help us. But that's not fair, because we place ourselves in that temptation. It goes outside of the realm of God giving us the graces that we need to help us to fight the things that He permits us to undergo. But then if we place ourselves in that, that is where a lot of times people will fall. It can be persons, places, things, whatever it may be. We place ourselves in that temptation, and so therefore that is why we get burned. That is why we fall. And so that's something that also we have to try to think about in terms of the fidelity. Because sometimes it can be for us, the faithfulness that we have to God is avoiding occasions of sin. Avoiding people, avoiding places, avoiding things for us. And by avoiding those things, well then, yes, we won't fall, we won't get burned. And so that's where when we read in our catechism, we see what the spiritual authors say about the three enemies to the soul, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And those are the things that we have to understand. Those are the things that we have to realize and see. Those are specifically the temptations that we find ourselves in. The world around us. There are many temptations that are out there. And so if we don't prepare ourselves for that, realizing by a good spiritual life what we have to do in order to go out into the world. So many of you have to work out in the world. And so you know that better than I, of all the temptations that are out there. So therefore, you must try to fortify yourselves before you go out into that. And that is the need for morning and evening prayers, there's a need for the family rosary, spiritual reading, even 5 minutes, 10 minutes a night. Little things that we can try to do to try to fortify ourselves for when we go out into that world. But we also see the weaknesses of ourselves, you can say the flesh, of how so much that the world promotes that we gratify ourselves, the self-gratification. I mean, it's just with knowledge of information, different things, the internet, all these different things that are so at our fingertips. But then you also think about how many things that people can find that are dangerous to their soul, and how giving into that, and what a danger that is for the soul. And it's not just with the knowledge, obviously, but it's also then because of the weaknesses of human nature, of how we give into those things so quickly. Again, if we try to barricade ourselves against that, of realizing, okay, what are my weaknesses? What are my difficulties that I fall into? Well, then trying to stay away from that. I mean, those are the things that we look at and we examine and try to see for our own soul. Every soul will be different. And so that's what we have to try to examine for ourselves and try to see with that. And as I say, that's what we have to try to look and examine for ourselves. If you go on retreat or if you make a general confession, different things that will help you to try to examine and see, where are my particular faults? Where are the weaknesses that I have? What are they? What do I normally fall into? And that's what you must try to then root out. And that's the whole purpose of a particular examination that, God willing, hopefully, that you do try to make each night. Because if we want to progress in the spiritual life, there has to be some effort on our part. We have to examine that, we have to see that, and try to, understand, what do I need to try to do to overcome the faults and the weaknesses that I have? I mean, one, if you're able to go to confession fairly frequently, well, yes, you realize, and maybe the priest also realizes, the things that you struggle with. the things that you undergo a lot, the temptations, what you fall into. And so those are the means that you can examine and try to look at and try to see then, okay, well, what do I need to try to do to cut these out, root these out of my life? And then obviously, yes, we also have the devil tempting us. And for the devil, he just basically goes by past experience. What are things that we fall into? Well, then he'll try it again. I mean, it's not like the devil can look into our imagination. It's not like the devil can see these things. He doesn't have that ability. So he only has the door open that we allow to be opened. The window that we open up for him, that's the only the access that he has to our soul. So as I say, if he sees, obviously, things that we've fallen into the past, well, yes, he's going to try to tempt us again with it. It's like, well, it worked one time, well, we'll try it again. And so that's what he will try to do. But he doesn't have that ability over us. I mean, a lot of times you'll hear that people just say, well, the devil, he made me do it. It's like, well, that's a good excuse, but I mean, there's still something that we have to, you know, to give in to that. Or we open up the door for the devil, open up the window, and then he comes in. But it's not where we can just say, because obviously the devil has an, you know, angelic intellect. So he can fool us, obviously, yes. But it's not like the devil is just sitting there, because otherwise everyone would fall all the time if it was just, well, the devil made me do it. And so that's what we have to understand. We have to try to see that we allow the access to our soul for the devil. And it is through the persons, the places, the things that are a weakness to us. And those are the things that we give access to the devil. And that's where, I mean, our Lord, he weeps over the infidelities of Jerusalem, over the city Jerusalem. He weeps over that because he sees, he's offering the graces to them and they turn their back on it. And so that's where then we can also understand in this Mass today where it talks about then the temptations too. I mean, yes, God permits us to undergo temptations, but it's as a means to test our fidelity. Some people will flunk. Some people will not pass that test. But it's not that God is like saying, okay, well, I'm going to make them fail. It's not like as like a teacher or something, you give like an impossible test that you know no one will pass. Not that I've ever done that, but I'm just saying. But you realize that you cannot, God is not going to do that to a soul. God will always give us the graces that we need. I mean, granted, it is hard sometimes. It is difficult. We seem like we're being swallowed up by these temptations, these trials, these crosses. But we've got to realize that sometimes we bring them upon ourselves too. That is why, I mean, as families, you've got to sit back and you have to try to examine then the things that you allow your children to have or to do or whatever. I mean, that's like the fear just because of this technology in today's world. Obviously, it can be used for a good thing, not a problem. But because of that ease of access that is there, it also opens up the door to a lot of sins. I mean, obviously the internet, but then also now because of these cell phones. I mean, granted, sometimes with a computer, well, yes, it's maybe in a prominent place in the house where everyone sees it. Okay, so you're already trying to form something as a barrier to someone falling into sin. But with these cell phones, with their, you know, smartphones and internet and different things, it's very easy just to take it wherever you want. And evidently, they don't have the same capabilities to guard against falling into certain things. I mean, you have the means on the computer sometimes for that. But with the cell phones, it's not as easy to set up and establish. So then all of a sudden, you have to realize, do I really need this? Is this a necessity for me? Because we have to try to examine and see, where do we fall? If we fall through these means of technology and different things, well, then we have to sit back and examine to ourselves, do I really need this? Because if I don't and I'm falling into sin for it, it's like, what am I doing with my life? And so, yes, it's a hard thing to maybe cut ourselves away from because it's so easy now and different things. But I mean, when you look at the overall picture, Will I lose my soul because of some of these things? Possibly some people will. Other people, it's not even a problem. They use it for what it is, and that's it, you know, as a phone or different things, GPS, get lost, go to Outback Steakhouse instead of the mountain, whatever. But, I mean, they utilize these things also for the damning of their soul. And so that's why I say, I mean, that's where we have to examine for ourselves, where is our soul? Are these things going to damn me for all eternity? Well, if so, throw it out the window. Drive over it. I mean, that's where we have to be, that dedicated to the salvation of our soul. Just like we talked about last Sunday, you see how many people to attain things just in this world are so dedicated to that. But yet you have people that fall into the same sins because of the same things, and they don't do anything about it. I mean, granted, yes, they're going to confession, but if you're not taking away the occasion of sin, what good is it? God can only work so much on that soul. Because you're really trying to form a barrier to the graces that God gives to you because of that. And so that's where, when we talk about the enemies to the soul, the world, the flesh, and the devil, it's a completely different world. You know, what we look at now and 20 years from ago, it's a completely different world when I was growing up. It's a completely different world. Different challenges for the kids to undergo. And so that's where you have to then try to examine and see for your family, what am I giving them? What am I putting in their path? What do they have access to? And that's where you have to try to examine and see the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yes, it is real. It is. They are the enemies to the soul. So yes, we can look at ourselves and see what are our weaknesses that we have, our weakness of a human nature. What are the things I naturally fall into? What are the things that I struggle with? Well, then you've got to try to root those out. I mean, yes, the devil will try to tempt us. I mean, that's why you don't dialogue with the devil. That's why you don't do anything. You run, you flee. That's what the spiritual authors will say. It's like, just get out of the way. Just run from him. It's disastrous if we try to talk to him and dialogue. But then also, yes, the world around us. And it's very easy for us to sit in here and say, well, the world, it's going to hell in a handbasket. Look at that world. But then how much of the world do we bring into our families? This world that is going to hell in a handbasket, how much do we bring into our own families? That's what you must examine. That is what you must try to see. Because as I say, we can utilize technology for all its good, and it can help us with certain things. I understand that. But you also have to see the dangers to it too. You can't just look at the benefits to it and then to completely ignore the dangers to it. I mean, you can't. If you do, you're deceiving yourself. And I think, unfortunately, that's what a lot of times happens to souls. They deceive themselves thinking that they're strong enough to overcome it. And yet they still have that same temptation, the same thing always around them, the same occasion of sin. And maybe it's just too hard for them to part with. But that's why our Lord weeps for our infidelities. Because just like Jerusalem, he has given us so much. And he's given us to understand that. Because as I say, when you prepare your confessions, you know what are the things that you're struggling with. And so by not getting rid of those things, I mean, what are you telling God? I mean, yes, there are weaknesses in our character and different things that we fall into, but we still have to try to root them out. We struggle with charity toward others. We struggle with our anger. But if there's other things that we're leaving that occasion of sin right there, what are we telling God? It doesn't really matter to me. And so we cannot look at our salvation that way. We cannot look at our salvation in that way. And so, yes, seeing the city, our Lord wept over it. But I mean, truly, that is why then our Lord suffered his agony, because he saw souls that were turning their back on him. And Almighty God, he could see all things in all history. He could see all of our souls. He could see everything that we've done. And that is why our Lord wept. And he wept these tears of blood because of it. So these tears are the proof of his compassion, his love for our souls. So that is why then he will give us the graces in order to help us then to overcome the temptations that he permits us to undergo. But as it says in the epistle, the warning is there. He that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.